Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikawa shafaa sana na longe shifaa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anange shifaa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandito ma yoe, yonge shifaa yoe okupikira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shipareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konarahe tatuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
A very good morning to you. If you were not able to hear us, for a few minutes, we just had some technical issues, which is now sorted out. A very good morning to you. It's a Tuesday morning. It's a very beautiful Tuesday morning, and welcome to Eagle FM. And this is Unpacking the Day. And my name is Mike Oshoveli. I'm welcoming you to this show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we are here to make sense of it all together. But it's not just about us talking. It is about you. Share your thoughts, opinion, and perspective on the topics that matter most to you. This is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the story. So our time is about 44 minutes past the hour of 7. It is the 24th of June 2025. So let's get into what... You know, what do we have? What is on, what happening, on this day? Let's get to our segment of On This Day in Africa on the 24th of June. So on the June 24th, on June 24th, 2012, Mohamed Morsi of the Muslim Brotherhood was inaugurated as the president of Egypt, becoming the country's first democratically elected leader post-Arab Spring. And on June 24, 1995, South Africa's Springbok rugby team beat New Zealand All Blacks 15-12 in the Rugby World Cup final. So on the field, the captain Francois Pienaar was famously presented with the Webb Ellis Cup by President Nelson Mandela, a moment charged with a symbolic unit in the post-apartheid era. And on the very same day, on June 24, 2002, Africa experienced its worst ever train disaster near Msagali, Tanzania, where a passenger train with about 1,200 passengers rolled back down Ingadu Hill after its brakes failed, killing 281 people. So that's what we have on this day in Africa. And Tuesday, June the 24th, the thought for the day, it is a proverb. It's a biblical text from Proverbs chapter 19 verses 22. A poor man is better than a liar. A poor man is better than a liar. So the proverb emphasized the character and the integrity, emphasized that character and integrity matters more than wealth or appearance. So the proverb teaches that true value comes from honesty and good intentions. So material wealth is meaningless if it's built on lies. So a principled, a genuine person, even in poverty, is far more admirable than a deceitful person with riches. So that's what the Proverbs is all about. Hopefully you learned something from that would help you to make right decision through the course of your day today. So good morning to you and welcome to Eagle FM, and this is Unpacking the Day Live. So All right. When we come back, we will talk, we will get into our first stories on the show this morning. Stay tuned.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongote samwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ompito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randito mwa yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konara hita tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament,
let me not take up my Katatura minus.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something the media will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Good morning to you, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. It is 49 minutes past the hour of 7 on Tuesday, the 24th of June 2025. So this morning, we are diving into one of the stories that appeared in yesterday's edition of The Villager, a story by Anakleta Haikera. So imagine living in a place where something as simple as getting safe food feel like a luxury. So where bad roads, no fuel station, and barely any transport make it hard to reach a town with proper markets. Now, if you picture that, picture that same struggle turning into now a life and death situation where emergencies strike and help is hours away. So that is the reality of for people in the Diona constituency. It is leading a heartbreaking rise in food poisoning cases. Anakleta article digs into why this keeps happening and what is standing in the way of change, you know, from the lack of ambulances to the scarcity of fuel. So it is a web of challenges that leaves families feeling really forgotten. Now, this morning, Anakleta joining us here on Unpacking the Day. So good morning, Anakleta. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? And good morning to all the Eagle FM listeners.
No, thank you. And your article paints a tough picture of life in Diona constituency. Can you explain in real simple terms what is happening with food poisoning cases in Diona and actually in Kavango regions in general? Yeah.
Yes. Let me just basically talk about the Nyangana district itself on Diona.
Yeah.
So far, the district had recorded 72 food poisoning cases with
this year already. Is this year already 72 or
for 3 years?
Oh, okay. Mm.
For the past 3 years since 2025 to 2023 to 2025.
Yeah.
And then among these 72 food cases that were confirmed, 20 deaths were recorded.
Yeah.
And 13 children are among these deaths. And mind you, this is just one particular constituency that we are talking about.
Mm.
So it has became a concern to many stakeholders, including the traditional authority, in which they are trying to figure out what is really happening within the constituency. So there are many speculations where some people are saying it might be that people are poisoning each other, and other people are saying it is because maybe the people do not know how to prepare food, or perhaps they are preparing food that they do not know how to prepare. For instance, if you look at most of the cases that were reported, people are dying after preparing mwanza, which is called cassava.
Yeah.
Now, when I say cassava, I'm not talking about the leaves. I'm talking about the root.
Yeah.
So perhaps in the olden days, when a root is being digged for food, they need to dry it for at least 5 days. But then you now sit down and wonder, are they really taking such measures to let the cassava root dry, or the cassava tuber to dry for 5 days, or perhaps it's not been done that way?
Yeah.
And looking at some of the main event that happened in 2024. The one that happened in 2024, where there was, at least this time around, it was only one death case that was reported.
Yeah.
The people prepared maize meal, pap, and mutete. So mutete is a local relish that we all know that we eat daily.
Mm.
And if people now consume this and die, it becomes another concern. Why would people just consume mutete that is regularly being consumed every day in the region and they die? So speculations comes to say perhaps there might be poison added to this type of meals.
Yeah.
And the most painful one was 27 February last year, 2024, more than 2023, where 24 cases were reported just in one household, and 16 deaths were recorded at Kayova village. This was a national mourning, if you still remember,
when
many people came together to witness what has happened in the Ndiona constituency. Because up to now, family members are having a lot of speculations where they are saying they do not believe that if one, you know, this traditional brew beer, but there's this certain substance where people can pound and eat, and then it killed 16 people. So they feel like there need to be more investigation done to really see, is it true that this 16 family consume the right product, or this product was maybe something was put in this product when they consume it before their death.
Yeah.
So now, throughout the years, there haven't been campaigns done. There haven't been a lot of maybe education due to food poisoning cases been regularly done in the Ndiona constituency itself.
Yeah.
So this year, the governor came together with some stakeholders to say they are going to sit with all the traditional leaders, because traditional leaders are the head of every village, to see how they can come to solution with the epicenters of the food poisoning cases that have been happening recently.
Mm.
So now the gathering was done on Saturday at the traditional hall in the Ndiona constituency, where they had different type of discussion to say perhaps if the ministry can the ministry of health can come to the family members and just give them a bit of a consult to say what has happened to the death of the people, were these people poisoned, or is the way they have prepared the food that has killed these many lives?
Yeah.
Imagine if 13 children die, this is like a future generation that has been taken from these specific parents, so to say. Mm. And now the discussion was held, and many residents attended just to see what is really happening and how can they go above it to solve such incidents. So many residents came up to say perhaps maybe there should be more education in schools and also in community itself to remind the people how to prepare food, and also that the people should only eat the food they know. They should not eat food that they do not know. For instance, when you talk about cassava tubers, not a lot of us know how to prepare it. So perhaps
is that a new type of food that they buy, or is it growing in that area as well?
It's growing in their area because mostly we eat the leaves of the cassava trees. So now for them to come to say the roots, that is something new. So some of the traditional leaders were saying perhaps we should put an end to this, because when they say the tubes are prepared, when the tubes are prepared, they should stay dry for 5 days, and perhaps a parent or somebody might just come dry it for 3 days and start eating it. Maybe this is one of the reasons why there's a number of high death cases, because people are not doing it the right way it's supposed to be done.
Right. Now, given now the number of cases that are actually taking place for quite a number of years now, like, you know, almost 3 years with that number you have just said, why wasn't there any emergency in actually finding out what is actually the main cause of the problems? To answer that question later, let's have quickly a commercial break, and then we'll look into that question.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is EagleFM.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
All right, welcome back. I was just asking, you know, because of this many cases, this should has been, you know, like a crisis. And you even in your article, you mentioned that, you know, there are a lot of families who haven't got any answers to from the laboratory, from the lab as well. So why that's the case?
The reason that was raised when the senior medical officer at Nyangana District, Dr. Michael Omotoya, was speaking, he said Namibia does not have the enough infrastructures such as laboratories that can actually see or determine what the cause of death is. So they normally send this to forensic abroad, to say South Africa. And the results for the victims of Liave was sent to South Africa in the same year, 2023. But so far they haven't yet got the result back. The only result that they had is to say that there were substance found in the food, but now to determine what type of substance was found in the food, they have not yet received any of the results. Now, this brings me back to say the infrastructures are not enough, because with this crisis, we were supposed to already have answers. But when we talk about not having laboratories that can identify what the cause of this death, or maybe to say forensic, to look at the matter or the fact that has caused this death, it will always be a problem. So families, as we speak, they are not at all happy, because for the past years, they have been blaming the police and also the hospitals.
Mm.
But then if you look at our hospitals, let's talk about the NIPs or the biggest laboratories that we have. They can do this in Namibia itself. Yeah. Everything needs to be sent abroad. And for them, they definitely have to answer, and I mean, wait until they have been given the right answers. That's when they can display it to their family. Mm. But as we speak right now, they haven't yet gotten any answers.
Yeah. No, just something quickly. What are there some kind of food, typical kind of food that causes food poisoning in the region that are known that, you know, if you eat this kind of food, that would actually cause food poisoning, and people have been always asked to avoid those kind of food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about the mushrooms. There is a specific mushroom that we know that this can be eaten and this cannot be eaten.
Mm.
But for some cases, when you try to prepare the mushrooms at night, you won't know which one is it.
Mm.
So this is why this was one of the call from the governor to say perhaps people should prepare food earlier, not late. Because when you just go and harvest the mushroom, you might not know which mushroom it is. Or maybe we should just put an end to say, let's not eat the mushroom at all because it's bringing harm to the people that are consuming it. And we had a case earlier last year for 6 children that consumed the mushroom.
Yeah.
And luckily enough, they were not far from the hospital.
Yeah.
So they got assistance quickly and they all survived. And, we thank God for the initiative and also to say that they survived.
Mm.
But then this was also mentioned to say perhaps we should just avoid the food that we can not know, or the food that we say it's very difficult to identify whether this is the real mushroom or this is not the mushroom that we are supposed to prepare.
Yeah.
And also when it comes to the cassava leaves, the cassava leaves are to be prepared during daytime. Why? Because the other name for cassava leaf is called menhunt.
Mm.
And in our tradition, we call them mudika.
Mudika.
So this menhunt can only be prepared when it's fully cleaned, because people say a chameleon might walk on the leaves.
Yeah.
And then when you take that specific leaf, it might cause harm to the family. People will never survive. They will die.
Mm.
So maybe these are the type of food that people have seen that are causing also a number of deaths in the region.
Yeah. So in your article also, you mentioned that the food poisoning cases are linked to transport and fuel shortages. So how are people in Diona coping when they need urgent help, but fuel or transport is not available?
Sure. This is now the main cause of all these particular discussion that we are having.
Mm.
Most of the people that are in Diona, they are in remote areas. What I mean is the inland.
Yeah.
These people don't really live near. So when we talk about transport, the roads are not accurate.
Mm.
Perhaps if an ambulance have to get to the place where the poisoning cases have been recorded, it will take them probably 2 to 3 hours. That car might even get stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
You understand? Because it's sandy. There is no gravel road, and the roads are way too difficult to pass, especially when you want to get to where the specific food poisoning cases have been recorded.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also another thing is the network. We don't have accurate network in the Kavango region. Even me myself was speaking right now, I'm in Rundu, but there are some certain places where I struggle with network already.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now, mind you, if we talk about people at the villages, how are they affected by this? They are daily affected, like there's just no network. So you can have a phone, but then your phone doesn't have network unless you climb up the tree. But it's not always that you'll be lucky to get network. Even when you climb up, it's only some days. So Many are really struggling with this. And also when it comes to petrol, where people can fuel their car, you don't have these stations anyway. You need to drive 100 kilometers to Divundu to fuel up. Yeah. Or 100 kilometers to Rundu to fuel up, because Diona is the epic center of Kavango. It's in the middle.
Yeah.
So it's very hard for them to get to services that they urgently need.
Yeah. So the lack of proper health centers and healthcare units at Nyangana Hospital was also mentioned. Can you explain how this gap in healthcare makes food poisoning cases even more dangerous?
Can you come again?
Now, there are no proper health centers and higher care unit at Nyangana, you know. So now, I was asking that this gap in healthcare, how does it make food poisoning more dangerous?
When we look at Nyangana itself, they don't have a ICU center where people can be treated immediately or where people can be assisted.
Yeah.
So it makes it very difficult for the doctors and also the nurses to be able to help the people when they are in need of the help. So transporting a patient that is already suffering from food poisoning to Rundu, that is a long distance.
Mm-hmm.
They might end up not even reaching Rundu, you understand? Like the incident that just happened earlier this month in June. The two minors died at home. This is due to the transport that never reached.
Yeah.
And also at the same time, there was no clinic, health center nearby, or maybe the tools to say that can help or guide these kids not to to die, or maybe to help them with not losing their life immediately at that time. So they are really, really affected because the health centers doesn't have the accurate tools to turn these people to whatever is that they need, especially the needed help that they need. Because maybe perhaps if they need the oxygen, and then the oxygen is not in the hospital, so they need now to order for it to come all the way from Rundu or Windu. So this really makes it difficult for people, or nurses or doctors.
So now the other question I have is, why do you think this problem keeps happening in Kavango East? And what is stopping it from being fixed?
One of the reasons I think, mind you, I'm talking on my own opinion.
Exactly, yeah. there's also lack of laboratory results, you know. So just from your opinion, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So my first opinion might be that perhaps people lack the needy education that they need. And also the other thing is people need food, and perhaps they are not getting food. Because if I tell you for the past 3 years, it was difficult for people to plow.
Mm.
And, you know, we are subsistence farmers, especially the two Kavango region. People, depends on rain.
Yeah.
So when there's rain, there's food. But when there's no rain, there's no food. So people eat whatever is available.
Yeah.
So maybe this is one of the reasons why.
Okay. Uh-huh. And also the traditional leaders are pushing for stronger rules on informal vendors like the Shibins.
Yes.
Can you tell us more about how these vendors might be linked to food poisoning cases?
When a vendor is open during the time where parents are supposed to be at home and prepare food, that already distract the whole initiative of a parent. Because now what they have observed as traditional leader is minors have become breadwinners of their houses.
Yeah.
Parents are always at Shebeens. So it takes a lot of time for parents now to go home. So they spend almost the whole day at the Shebeens before they go their houses. And when they reach home, if there is no food, they will definitely just take whatever is there. Yeah. And remember, if you now cook a manhunt without checking the leaves, it can also bring harm to the family, because you didn't watch the leaves, or you didn't prepare it the way it's supposed to be prepared. And the other thing is, there is certain substance that people eat. So perhaps when you, I don't know how to say it, when you are preparing this traditional beer, they this substance they use, it also comes from Mahangu itself.
Yeah.
And then people normally dry it to make maize meal. So perhaps if that specific substance has been in the container for more than a month, it can also bring harm when you prepare it as maize meal.
Yeah, yeah.
So now that is one of the things why the stakeholders were saying maybe the shippings should also close earlier, because some parents will just pick that and then go home with it and start preparing it, not knowing that it has been perhaps available for a month, and it can be also poisoning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So does the blame lie at the feet of political leaders alone, or this is multifaceted kind of challenge that requires multiple stakeholders?
This actually requires everyone, me, you, to help out.
Yeah.
For us is now to broadcast the news like we are doing right now.
Yeah.
And for the stakeholders is to work more when we talk about infrastructures.
Mm.
People need network. People need full stations. People need accurate roads.
Yeah.
So this is for everyone in Namibia.
Yeah.
We need to shake hands and see how we can help out, because this now has become a critical thing for the whole nation. Because if we talk about 72 people that were already diagnosed with cases of food poisoning, and then we have 20 deaths, this is not something to say it's light. This is very, very deep.
Yeah.
But the Kavango East itself, the whole Kavango East region, from 2023 to 2025, has recorded 28 death cases.
Yeah, Diona
itself, Diona itself, 20, and the 8 other cases were recorded in different constituencies that are not Diona.
Mm. Now, you also spoke about, you just mentioned it's also stakeholders meeting with traditional leaders and officials, like the governors. Did it feel like a real solution were on the table in that meeting?
Yeah, it did. It really did, because now traditional leaders engage with the regional leaders. So the regional leaders are the ones that are the eyes for the people.
Mm.
But then the traditional leaders looks more into community work. So the traditional leaders, if they get the permission from the regional leaders, they are able to go and educate, they are able to go and talk to them and also communicate with the authority. The authorities are the police, where they can say, as we know about a specific person that has been putting food poisoning in people's food, and we need this person behind bars. So this engagement will really help out, because now there hasn't been an engagement as such for a long period of time. But now that we have it, we are going to see many solutions, because if there's something, traditional leaders can communicate to the regional leaders, and then perhaps they'll see to it how they can engage and look for a solution toward all these problems.
Yeah. Yeah. It's looked like people in Diona seem to be really dealing with a lot, bad roads, no fuel, weak health services. So what is one thing you hear or you heard from the community that they think would make the biggest difference right now?
The community say development will make a big difference, especially if there will be proper roads, infrastructure, and also that Diona should have now a bigger center to say maybe to be to also have a hospital, not a district hospital, but a intermediate hospital, people be treated with immediate effect, and also have clinics, like perhaps every village must have a clinic or a mobile clinic, so that the people don't have to travel 60 kilometers to get to a nearby hospital or a district hospital, but they should have mobile clinics. And this, looking at this, maybe it will help reduce the food poisoning cases. And also, if they have a fuel station, people are able now to fuel their cars easily, transport these victims that are affected by food poisoning. And it won't be a thing to say for 2 or 3 hours before you transported. Rather, you just wait for an hour or 30 minutes and then you put yourself to the nearby hospital or.
Yeah, so you're a little bit breaking up a bit. Hopefully not again. So lastly, your article calls for an integrated approach to rural development. So in a simple terms, what would that look like for a place like Diona, and why is so important?
The reason why is, can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yeah.
But this is a problem, like I said, network. Okay. One of the solution people were saying is that if, because Diona is in the middle, it's between and Rundu.
Yeah.
So if Diona becomes developed and it will have all the necessary infrastructure services, then maybe it will help out in all the things that has been happening, especially with the food poisoning, because people will be able to go to a mall and buy food. They won't just take the food that is there that has been stored for more than 2 years and start eating, but rather they will run to a mall and buy maize meal.
Yeah.
So if development comes or comes in Diona, then people will not consume anything that is available, but rather they will go to a store and buy food that is not expired, and then they will consume, and then maybe the number of deaths will decrease.
Yeah. Later on, I will be playing a voice note from Hildegard. So what is she talking about? Because she will be speaking in Rukwangari. Overall,
okay.
What would be the message in that clip?
The whole message in the clip is from Mangundu. Miss Nangundu is a former nurse at the Nyangana district, and her main concern was from 1999. Ever since she has been a staff nurse at the Nyangana district, she has never seen any change at the district itself. And also in the same year, 1999, there was food poisoning recorded at the hospital. But up to date, they have never gotten an answer to say what killed those 10 people. That was now 1999. Okay. So she now said, perhaps now the ones that are in charge should be able to fight and get the results so that people can come to an end. People can come to and say what is really causing this high number of food poisoning cases. We might be, there is a lot of speculation to say maybe people are poisoned or people are eating expired food. But then these are just speculation. We are just thinking about it. We are not certain, or we are not sure that this is really what is
evidence.
Taking. Yes, yes. So now she also narrated what the people need. She also mentioned the same thing. People need more mobile clinics. People need petrol stations. People need a big mall for them to be able to get to buy food rather than, for instance, rather than eating food that has been expired because they cannot get to any by town to get the food. And she also contributed to say that maybe more nurses are needed to go and work in the inland areas to just teach people or educate the people that are in the remote areas on how to prepare food. So education is needed for the people to be able to know how to prepare food. And also she emphasized on parents should stay home more than just going for alcohol or share beans, so that kids cannot be the breadwinners of their houses.
Yeah. So any last word, Anacleta, on this story? Maybe something that you would like to speak on behalf of people from the community, from Diona?
Mainly for me, I feel like the families are still waiting for answers, and maybe the Ministry of Health and Social Service must do more just to provide these people the right answers, so that people can know and understand what is the cause root of food poisoning cases, so that at least they can now come to conclusion and say, yes, our family died of a certain particular thing that they have consumed. That's perhaps maybe why they died, so that they can just have that peace or justice to the death of the people that have passed. And also maybe we should have laboratories that can identify or see what is the cause of these many cases in the Ndiyona constituency.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anacleta, thank you very much for really shedding light on these stories. It's a story that is actually being spoken about, and people being worried, because this is, and sometimes this actually can become a norm. People keep dying, and we, you know, until it becomes a norm, I think we need to sensitize and create this awareness within our listeners and also in the country about this issue. And thank you for coming through to Unpacking the Day this morning.
You're welcome, Mike.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. I spoke about the nurse, the former nurse, Mrs. Hildegard Mankudu, a former staff nurse, from Yangana District Hospital. Yeah, she was in the meeting, in that stakeholder meeting, and here is what she has to say. It's in the Rukwangari, let's take listen to her.
I was a matron at the hospital. 10 people died in 72 hours. The first 10 died in 24 hours. Since then, I've never had any laboratory confirmation results to the hospital, later to the families. Now, in this many years ago, the same cases, 23, 24, now it's 25. In 2 years, no outcome results from the laboratory. I think it is a question from us to the health facility. Really, try your best at least to tell the people the truth. If the positive results came out, why not to share it with the leaders to the community? That is really a concern, because it is impossible in how many years no result came out to Nyangana district. Ame kuna kuamba tupushi. Mwaka unyea 1996, ame metro nispangiro. Ya horo kire nye case ya dosa. ya kurenga si vantu atuaka wa simbiro na umwetu vantu kuyatika tu kuspangilo kuna kudohoroka kumitura drepa kuna kudohoroka dohoro 10 na vanche mumayua mawiri banya wanafu vantu 10 mkutanda si mayua matatu ndi mane vantu awa kuwede rere wabiru kiro wale vanendi vangasi vanya wabi na kurengosi kutunda mwaka dinya kie vano vimponga na mchua na kudohoroka na kubana tuwa kuwana muno vantu kuna kufa unene mara nakatunda kuspangilo si ndikokoba kwa tuaranga I think it goes to Windhoek kwa enda na Windhoek ndi wale South Africa asinde bakai engolo batande bampititi we batante resi binombe bitundwa mo katuare nongoli ku bantu benu mukabatante resi ebinombe binakuliyo bantu ruwana nokongoli sintu shonge no bantu benu si wenu mo baruwana wenu matereka dondia wenu mukupakira mbiri kwato nayi musi yatundo nacho sikare sibukusinka saba kaspangero si bakona kutuwane na obyo binakuliyo bantu sibinke Sauviri, mwenye ntisilika, kusona sana kurupu tatupa ufupi, mwara minte dadi sesu unatupa, omuno mgiri kuu udito unakarumu. Mgiri kuu yetu udito unaweza ndonga linena ndindi yona. Momu nakuikenga kesi na dinchengo, ila momu inakara nye adosa, uinu mwoi changurura, minkena nivinya. Uinu mwoka fawantu, afemuntu tupa atunde honde mayuru, makura kuna kufa, kapipa na hiyo avantu sikewe na mulio. Kesi ya kayova. We ni mwa fa wantu, uwa nalio mvuma. Mvuma na natuwa nche, moka ndoka tulianga mvuma, panya parubedra wa shetu kaba dunganga mdevere. Kuli ya mvuma, wanyokwe tukuyia neka ninke, mvuma kuditua kuli ya ninke, mvuma wene utura. Vashe tuwa mitri wa kairo, mara kuli ya mvuma na kufashi. Nkedi kalie radi ya mvuma, da kayova wantu. Kutanta si, ovyo, povili vina karopo. Usungu sangwandi kile kapisa usungu kana wakandio na tuatande sine nketo atura wetu atura mno ndio na kudipa abantu ngoye nkibi na karo mno ndio na kenesi kasava kana kutu nyanya nike mvuma sango dia daku nike kenesi kasava kana kulio banu kena bakondi tu even simoma natanda coordinator si twasa hone neno vininke owe minapira kuti wapera twe owe tapira kuyiba pampo yetu si wenu mubaviterekanga ndi wenu mubavilianga nani ngoli babitushonge tanko tuyive si kasaba kumuyura kasaba kumutereka wasamkwangu lita kumulia mo munyaka baterekanga bakuru na betu ya twatanta si ninke nkebi mbeti kushongo mena na kukwata kusidoro dikapie ntani unakudilia tudimbure nusikevi na kutulio. Kaptua kukenga sikevi na kutulio. Walie omoto wabi wapekanga tuiterike tuwilie. Ndipo. Udito unakaro mgiri kusi. Sinka sasi nene. Sakuwa terampo yetu nesinafu. Mpititi kuna kuwa romba kuna kuwa lirasi. Turambu itenu mpo yetu mpo mgiri kuinafu muno. Kutame kakundia odotu nakulia. Na kudaku nkali tuwa maparu yetu nanche. Kapimi na kuhu.
All right. That was Mrs. Hildegard Mankundu, a former staff nurse from Nyangana, a district hospital. During the Ndiona, there was a stakeholder engagement session held at the Ndiona Traditional Community Hall last Saturday in the Kavango East regions. At the same occasion, Dr. Michael Omotayo, the senior medical officer at the Nyangana District Hospitals, also highlighted the issues that the ministry or the health facilities experiencing in providing the service to the communities. Let's hear what Mr. Michael, Dr. Michael, have to say.
Basically, maybe I should quickly run through within 5 minutes. For the cases we've had so far, the common challenges we have, like the Ministry of Health, we have transport challenge. Presently, our vehicles in the hospital, they are very old. A lot of them were bought many, many years ago. And some of them, even their mileage, their kilometers, some more than 300,000 kilometers. So the vehicles are very old, and they are breaking. There is a breakdown, regular breakdown of our vehicles. So we tend to have challenges with transport. Another challenge we are having within the district is a poor road network, and then also poor communication network. Like the last case that we had, I was on duty that day when they came. I was the one on call. So I was asking the elders they brought, the adults, the mothers that came in, when did this incident happen? They said, we started the previous day. Then I asked them, why did you not come the previous day? Why were you just coming? They came the following day around 10 in the morning. So they said, since yesterday, why did you not come? Or at least call the hospital for us to come with our ambulance. And the family was saying, no, our phone was off. It's like there was no electricity. They could not even charge their phone. So because of that, they could not call. And then they could not also maybe get help from the neighbors nearby. So within the district, we're having challenges of poor communication network, poor the electricity, and then also poor road network. So another thing is, we also appreciate, we need more health centers. Like Indiana is supposed to have health center. Presently, there's no health center in this Indiana. And if you look at the population is growing. If somebody is sick here, they have to come all the way to the district hospital. There has been incidences where I saw patients and they have to trek to come to the hospital, and it took them a long time.
All right, that was Dr. Michael Omotayo, the senior medical officer at Nyangana District Hospital during the stakeholder engagement session held at the Diona Traditional Community Hall in the Kavango East region. So basically highlighting the challenges that the ministry or the district are facing when it comes to provide health services to the community. So Riyad, you're most welcome now to come through and have your reaction to the stories that to the discussion that we have. Our telephone number 08333 66091, 08333 66091. So you're most welcome now to come through and have your comment or your reaction to our discussion that we had so far. EGFM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
We all right, and how are you?
Thank God for everything, but not at the expenses of those people who are just dying.
Yeah.
From unknown things.
Mm.
So now, when I'm hearing about to, I listen to you, to your, all the speakers.
Yeah.
But I will start with the last one. The health officers or whoever.
It's a medical, health. Yeah.
Now, I will start with him. There, what he said on the challenges.
Yeah.
Challenge number one, transportation. Secondly, network coverage and all the challenges.
Yeah.
Are those the ones that cause the death of those people who are consuming whatever they are consuming? Are we now saying that, yes, the children consume the issues and they died because of the transport or network or what is it?
No, if you follow this story, is that the children, let's say for example, the two children that have died. So they have died because first of all, the in the rural area where they are, there was no electricity. They couldn't charge the phone to be able to call, you know, to call the emergency. It's because their phone was off. You understand? Yeah. And normally, the village, the transport, there aren't transport readily available. So those, according now to the ministry of, to the senior office, to the doctor, he said, these are some of the challenges, because if there were transport available, this could have been actually brought much earlier to the hospital.
I understand. I agree with you all the things.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. When the children consumed those poisonous foods, like the meme was saying that they could be shashopuna okwirili ngeko kuna kubita okwirili no to butu apo utanga kuna okwirili pota kutwa kutya ngeko okwirili if those ones the Muslims maybe are the ones who are poisonous, like they said, as people are aged. It's an allegation, isn't it?
Yeah, and sometimes because there are no lab results. Of course, up to now, there are no lab results. So definitely, it's an allegation. Yeah.
So there are issues, kind of pointing to that yes, they might have consumed the mushrooms.
Yeah.
Then that's the mushroom that have made them to die. Is that what you are saying?
Well, it could be how the food are handled, how they are prepared. As earlier on, Anacleta saying, some of these need to be prepared earlier during the day rather than at night. So there are other issues. It's not only about infrastructure or other challenges that have been mentioned, but also
the cassava. Let's go to cassava once and all the food that we have been eating.
Yeah,
because the problem is that sometimes people take advantage. And they really poison others.
That's also speculations. So there are also speculations that there could be others who are actually poisoning others. So
when I listened to the last speaker who was talking about, just that I forgot the word, he was speaking in our vernacular.
Yeah.
You can see that, yes, you can see the cassava leaves. You can see omidika. You can see ushindare kucha no mikapa on tika imagaka yakadi wa no those things are so now people take advantage and really poison others, and the people die, children die, and they kill people. So that's why I wanted to find the link. It's true, the children were poisoned, or they ate poisonous food or whatever item they have eaten. And it's happening a lot in the Kavango region.
Yeah.
It's all happening a lot. If it is mushroom that we consume or expire food and things like that, whose responsibility is that one? So I know there are challenges of network and all these things, but before the challenge came, the first place, the children consumed the food or they were poisoned.
Yeah.
Now you expect them to get to the hospital with what? Transport and communication network and all these other things. You must just address the roots there. What happened to the children?
Yeah. So I don't want to misunderstand you, but the traditional authority, the traditional leaders, they're all people who were there. They're looking at integrated approach. So it's not actually just looking at one thing. They're also looking, and as you mentioned, it's not just about the lack of, maybe network or transport, but it's also, are the people educated in the community? Are they educated of the kind of food that they need to eat or how to prepare it? All those.
You don't need to educate them. You create awareness, and I'm sure.
Awareness is education, Uncle Bwana. So.
When we talk about education, people are saying, oh, education, I don't have a degree, I don't have. Yes, it's education, you are right. But what we are saying is that this creation of awareness You know, you sometimes you use words, the concept that is threaten the people. And the people think that, no, I'm not educated. Those are the ones who are educated. And they know. Okay, fine. Now in the community, how do you then educate them to eat the food that is not poisonous? And it's, you know, I say, whose responsibility is this one? Is this for them? Is this for us? The traditional authority? Like I said, it is so happening lambently. I mean, at least an increase. If then, and every time you see in Kavango.
Yeah. Now, okay. Just for you also, this is something that's a concern, I think, and the reasons why we bring it here. It's a concern really for everyone, for every citizen. What are your take and how do you want this to be dealt with in your opinion?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Let me give my opinion. But when I was listening to the speaker, I don't know who, maybe there was a breakdown in introduction. Who was the one who was speaking in our language?
Yeah.
I mean, in a language.
That's a former staff nurse at the Nyangana District Hospital, Hildegard.
Yeah.
Mangunu.
Yeah. But not the one who was talking about the challenge. But the one who was now talking in the language.
In Lukwangali, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So that one was saying, so yes, we have been eating cassava all along. And all these other things, and all the other things. And she was using a word, terms, which I just forgot now. So now, that's why I wanted to find out. It is the... because I've seen why the children are dying and the people are consuming it and there are some are saying it's poisonous food, expired food, and all these other things, and transport and all these things. What really made the children to be dying? And why is it that every time there are the children who are consuming this is because of poverty, because of transport, and all these other things?
There would be a quick...
So I think I've ended up there.
Great news! Inba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Inba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Inba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Inba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
To all Eagle FM listeners, do you want to stand a chance to win a voucher of $500 weekly? Answer this easy question. Please tell us, what are the three colors of the USAVE logo? Please SMS your answer to 081-200-4144 and tune in every Friday between 1:45 and 2:00 to find out if you are the lucky winner. The winner will be announced every Friday live on air between 1:45 and 2:00. Participate weekly to improve your chance. We'll save at USAVE.
A very good morning to you. If you just joining us, a very good morning to you, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. So, yes, we're looking at the situation that is happening or that has happened in Diona, we try to get people who have been in these in the stakeholder engagement session. We talked to Anacleta, our reporters in Rundu on the situation on the ground. And she gave us a download of what is really happening. And also we spoke to, some other stakeholders that also took place, that also attended this, stakeholder engagement session. Yeah, what is your reaction? You're most welcome now to come through to react to that. And I'm going to go into this a little bit more. And because there are some serious issues about the stories. As I said, you're most welcome to come through. Our telephone number is 0833-66091. 0833-66091. Yeah, and you're welcome to come through and have your say or your opinion on this matter. Yeah, so, yeah, because as I said, there are serious, issues about this story, by Anacleta Haikera, because there are things that are really, really, really painful to think, painful to think about. And I'm not going to let it slide. I'm definitely not going to let it slide. So her report, based on a stakeholders engagement session, held at the Ona Traditional Community Hall in the Kavango East last Saturday. So what emerged from that, meeting is an absolute reality check. It's an absolutely reality check about how our rural communities are being failed by systemic infrastructure breakdown, if you can put it that way, that are literally costing lives. So that are literally costing lives. So I'm going to look at some of the things that are highlighted in this in the stories, and maybe a little analyze a little bit deeper. Just for us to understand, to get a better understanding also with some researches that I could actually gather, you know, so that we understand also what is really, happening. Not necessarily in only in Diona, but also maybe elsewhere in the country. So let's paint you the picture that's unfolding in Diona, constituency. We're looking at a tragic situation, where food poisoning cases, are spiking, are really increasing. And the root causes isn't just about, bad food. It's not just about bad food. It's also about broken system. As we hear from the people that, live in those areas, like Dr. Michael Omotoya, so Dr. Michael Omotayo, senior medical officer at Nyangana District Hospital. And he put it bluntly. So he put it bluntly, when he say, quote unquote, people are consuming spoiled or contaminated food because they don't have access to better options. You know, and when emergency occurs, help takes too long to arrive, unquote. So sometimes you can't blame people actually eating the contaminated food. Even this is sometimes we have here people actually fishing into sewage and all that, and sometimes it's because they have no option. Yeah, they have no option. And if you're sitting on a high, you know, on a higher, sometimes you look at this, but what white people actually do that and what? But there are those, you know, who have no choice, eh? Who really have no choice, or who have no better options than you are. And now when then something happened, like where you needed emergency, it's about 100 kilometer away. It's about 100 kilometer away and the help takes too long actually to arrive. So, and when we're looking at this is not an isolated problem. This is not an isolated problem at all, my dear listeners. The Kavango East region has been grappling, with that, with what the governor, Hamnyera, Hambyuka himself acknowledged as, quote unquote, various social development challenges. So he acknowledged that as a various social development challenges, including, his word, unemployment, shortage of clean drinking water, shortages of clean drinking water, lack of water pipelines and boreholes. So rural electrifications and poor roads networks, limited quarantine facilities, and long distance to clinics, and to schools. Those are, you know, issues that governor himself have indicated. So what we are seeing in a perfect storm, what we are seeing is really, how would I say? It's a perfect storm of neglect that is creating a health emergency. In multifaceted, area. Okay. It's not just looking at one thing. And since 2023, these 3 years now, the region has recorded, where did I write that? The region has recorded about 26 deaths from suspected food poisoning. And with 21 of those deaths occurring specifically in Kavango East. This is just over 2 years. 21 of that. 21 over 2 years. 21 of these deaths occurring specifically in Kavango East over just 2 years. Eagle FM.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm good.
Gillian
from Katima.
Okay. Yeah.
Food poisoning.
Exactly.
You know, Mike, when we had this topic, I think it was last month. I don't know when it was that really.
Yeah. We talked about that a little bit. Yeah. Because there was a situation of two kids that died, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. No, when I got home, I sat around the fire with my landlord. Then I was trying to ask her. My landlord is from Kavango, though.
Mm.
So I was trying to ask her, like, oh, why you people are dying from food poisoning here and there?
Yeah.
Because we are always receiving news from Kavango that a number of three has been dying from food poisoning and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what she told me was straightforward. She told me, listen here, you can never cook without checking your pot in Kavango.
Yeah.
That's risk number one. Whenever you are cooking, you have to make sure you are available where your pot is boiling. Because in Kavango, they have a mentality of poisoning others. That is too much in Kavango. It's not food which is killing them.
Yeah.
They poison themselves. They have that mentality. That I can tell you for sure, because for as old as I am, I've been in Kavango, I've seen a lot of stuff. That thing never started today. It started way back. So now it's a trend. It's going on and on and on because there are no measures to keep them away from that.
Mm.
And the other thing she told me is, those people, parents mostly, that's why you'll find people that are dying around, they are kids. Most of them are kids. Those people will go out drinking, leaving the kids unattended to.
Mm.
Yeah, then, you know, kids, when they go hungry, because they know there's some fresh veg around and stuff, they'll pick anything, whatever they will pick and cook. Then later on, those kids, all of them are gone.
Yeah.
Or some of them will even survive. You come to us, the parents were not there. Some of the parents won't even taste the food. They don't even know what their kids ate from morning.
Yeah.
But they will just be there out drinking. They come back, sleep. Some of the things that are happening, it's them, the parents, who are not taking care of what they are cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of watching on what you are cooking, they will pick whatever so that they finish very quick and go to their stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, not knowing whether their staff is drinking or as they've been doing, or we don't know. But that's what she told me, like, you should be careful. Even when you'll be in Kavango, you should be careful. Food that you are given without seeing where it is prepared from.
Yeah.
Do not take that, because there's poison in it or something. It's not all the time they are poisoning, but yeah, some of them, in mostly. She even mentioned, I don't know, I don't even remember very well, she mentioned a place, it, like where those activities are mostly happening from.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she mentioned, I don't just recall very well. She said, there's a place like this, this, this. That place is full of evil. That's where people are mostly dying, so. I don't know
is it just people going on poisoning others as a cult or as a practice that's normally, you know, I understand that. I know, I mean, I really definitely understand, but maybe someone is your enemy and you, but this is going on now, for too long. And the other thing is also, the other funny thing is that, there aren't, that means the people who are dying from this food poisoning is just there aren't really tests that are done to indicate that actually that person have died from food poisoning. Because as we hear, there are no lab results for most of this family. They don't know what actually what is exactly killed their children or what the people, whether it's a handling on the food, how they prepared food, or it was something else. And that's why it keep happening. I think, and that's the big, because there are no evidence to actually show that this is the problem.
This is the problem, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Minister of Health should also intervene in so that, because when I was listening, I heard it was from 2023, up to date is 70. 70 is gone.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. At least from 2023, we're supposed to have a result from the Minister of Health.
Exactly. No matter where you send it, those results should be available.
Yes. Yes. That's definitely well, because the ministry should also intervene in there.
And you create speculations. And as you were said, there was a speculation. So you create those speculations and you have now people accusing the police or whoever. Yes. Because the lack of information, people will create their own information.
Yeah. And the other thing I can add on is the Minister of Safety and Security. The police should also go in that issue, because if the Minister of Education, if the Minister of Health is not bringing on the results to see whether these people died from this. Now, who is investigating them?
Exactly, yeah.
Because the police has to investigate also, like, why do we have a number which is rising, but we don't get results from you, like, what exactly is transpiring?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, so we would ask the police also to intervene
so that they should also investigating with Ministry of Health and Social Service. Yeah.
Yes, that is.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Mike.
No, thanks, man. Thanks for coming through,
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, if you're living in this region and you have a better understanding of what is going on, or please do come through and inform us. What is exactly is happening? Let us know by calling us at telephone number. Our telephone number is 08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091. Or your reaction to the interview that I had before with Anna Kletter, and also I also play some reaction from Dr. Michael, and also the former nurse at Onyangana District Hospital, Mrs. Hildegard Mangundu. So yeah, if you have any reaction to, you know, to those interview or whatever they say, or you or your experience when it comes to food poisoning in Kavango, or elsewhere, you're most welcome to come through and air your opinion. So, and personally, I really would like to look into this story in our, and please make sure that you subscribe to the Villager. All what you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message to this number, with your name and email. Yeah. I'm with you.
with your name and email. So, and the number is 081-200-4144, 08-200-4144. So, and you, will be able to receive your digital, copy of the Villager every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So, yeah, we're following that story, and there are a few things that I really, really feel like I need to talk about and highlight a little bit. So, yeah, and as I said, these are not just statistics, when we're talking about this, and it's something that is really paining. It's painful, I think, for me, because when we hear this more and more and more, it becomes a norm. You know, it becomes a norm, and they're kind of like, oh, well, we expect that, you know. So these are our fellow Namibians. These are not just statistics. They are fellow Namibians, including children, whose lives could have been saved. You know, it could have been saved. Whether it's a neglect from the parents, their own parents, or because of socioeconomic, situation and the way now, we see how people are behaving in a community, spending more time at the Shebeen and all that. Those need to be addressed. Those issues need to be addressed. Whether it's how we handle food and prepare food, it needs to be addressed as well. So whether it's infrastructure, that if somebody, the clinics are far away, there are no stations to be able, if someone drives to that place, he won't be able to come back because there are no fueling stations. So those need to be addressed. So, in the story, so this is really where it gets complex, you know, and why we need to think beyond just health responses. You know, we need beyond just health responses. The article reveals how transport, fuel access, telecommunications, we looked at that. We talked about that as well. And I was able also to talk about that to Anakleta. And healthcare are all interconnected. So they are all interconnected in a way that amplify each other's, you know, failures. You understand? So I'm going to break that. Let me break that to you systematically. Okay, let me break that down to you systematically. So let's rural communication across Kavango East, Kavango West, and also Zambezi, Zambezi regions and other regions that along that border. So and especially in these areas, Kavango East, Kavango West, and Zambezi region have been expressing frustration over the lack of feeder and connecting road for years. They have been doing that. They have been really expressing their frustration. A government report highlighted how poor road infrastructure isolates communities, limiting access to healthcare, and also, of course, hindering the economic progress. Now, some communities, and I can give an example of a community in Zambezi region, Imukusi. Okay, so the Imukusi rely somewhere it was in the newspaper, rely on makeshift road, you know, the makeshift road that becomes impassable during rain seasons. So, and then cutting them off entirely from essential services. So the impact on healthcare access is devastating. So it's devastating when these people are not be able to access health services because of makeshift roads that are just temporal, and how you know how that made, and when it's rained you cannot be able to actually to go through. And that also happened in some areas. I think, you know, Shikota, not Shikota, but you know, Msati and all that. So the impact of healthcare service, of healthcare access, as I said, is really devastating. Previous studies have shown that rural dwellers, pay up to $400 Namibian just to reach hospital in emergency. Up to $400 Namibian. So, and 77% of people, because it's coming from a study on people living with HIV. So, and 77% of people living with HIV are more than 20 kilometers away from the nearest health facilities. Now, imagine talking about where you don't have, you know, where transport is not readily available. Where communication, remember now, that's why I said this, the amplifying the whole failure of providing services. So it's not just on the ministry. Like, I can give an example. The ministry can provide, ambulances, for example. Like it has been doing now. It can provide ambulances on the clinic, maybe at that place. But there are no fuel stations around. So there are no fuel stations around. So the ambulance may not be able to actually go to a certain places because, you know, it cannot fuel up somewhere. So you see how that actually interconnected. And that's very, very, very important to understand. Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day. I'm fine. I mean, yourself?
Dr. Mike?
Yeah.
You're speaking about the food poisoning and the healthcare facilities very far from each other. Is not so?
Yeah.
All right. So let me be part of that discussion. Allow me.
I think we are not bonding.
We are not participating because it's healthy. I see the radio is so quiet. I'm listening, but I see you talking a lot.
Yeah.
No, but let's.
But sometimes it's okay because we need to provide information, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, you are right. But yeah, we share because at least we travel in these areas also.
Yeah.
You see, yeah. No, definitely. The road infrastructure have been a little bit difficult for the rural areas, you know. But the way to overcome that. And that's where the challenge comes. Always we say the budget.
Yeah.
Government doesn't have money. My government have to go borrow. Government have to do this. Because government provides for the poor. And the private provides for the rich because they are into business.
Yeah.
And that's where, you see, my biggest concern have been. The moment you commercialize healthcare, it becomes a challenge.
Mm.
Because healthcare is a natural phenomenon. There's no one who can say, tell you that, no, me, I'll be getting sick next week. The other one says, I think me, my sickness is coming after 3 weeks from now. It's a natural phenomenon. It doesn't choose whether rich or poor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we have commercialized it such a way that, some sickness, some people must be treated by the private. And some people must be treated by the government.
Yeah.
You get right. And that's the sad part of life.
But that choice, it's not, the system has been created for you to make that choice. If you have money, you can, you know, can go to private.
No, I understand what you are saying.
Yeah.
The system was created. But who created this? Is it the system?
Who created it?
Did the system create the diseases that, okay, this disease will go for the rich, this disease will go for the poor? Because if the system is created in such a way that it segregates, that this type of disease, you know, this type of people can be treated by this group of people, this type of disease, you get my,
yeah.
Understand my narrative.
Yeah, I know, I'm following, yeah.
I'm saying, yes, we have created a system how to treat people. But we don't know which system was created to distribute diseases. Is there any system that distributes diseases?
No, not at all. I mean,
it's a natural phenomenon, is it not so?
Yeah.
That's where my point comes in. a natural system, this is a natural phenomenon, it should not be commercialized. Because it should be treated, looked at from the angle of natural, because no one chooses to get sick.
Are you saying we shouldn't have actually private doctors' practices? Is that actually what he's saying?
In the whole world, there was not supposed to be a private doctor.
Yeah, but that's,
it's a natural phenomenon.
Yeah, but that's
it's the same thing like food.
Mm.
You get what I mean? We shouldn't commercialize food. What we should do is, food or agriculture is a sector that is purely taken care of by the government. And the government must make sure whoever enters into that, prices are controlled to the point that everybody can afford.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? What we do, we should make sure if we produce more, everything will become cheap. Let me give you an example. I think most of the SADC countries have produced a lot of maize compared to others, not yet. We fully agree. But I think what I checked on one of the thing, I think it was on WhatsApp, whatever somebody just said in the short screen for the president of Zambia. Eh?
Yeah.
It's how much you have harvested. Eh? And people are saying, people have caught some of them who have told me, no, they have got a bumper harvest. And I can guarantee you, you know, maize meal, which was costing, I think, 200 and something. I heard currently now it's going to be very cheap.
Yeah.
Why? Because there is abundance. You get what I mean?
Exactly. Mm.
Yes. And that's what I'm saying. There are certain things we should commercialize, maybe, and certain things we shouldn't commercialize. Like healthcare should not be commercialized. Because then it's aggregates. Agriculture, which is food, should not be commercialized. That because it's food security. And education. Because we want everybody to be educated. We want everybody to speak the same language we speak. That's all.
Yeah.
So that if I'm not there, the next person who is there will be able to solve that problem. You get my
No, what I wanted to understand, okay, we can continue after this this commercial coming up.
All right.
Yeah, just let's hold on quickly. Yeah.
Okay.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ish, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to business.
June 7 Adventure Tours is offering an exclusive 20% discount for all local Namibians for the month of June and July. Get ready for an unforgettable quad biking and sandboarding adventure in the dunes. Parents, please bring the children to come and have fun on 20% discounted prices this coming June and July month. For more information, contact 081-624-9665.
All right. You know, what I'm trying to get to understand you, to what the point you're making, are you saying the government should be only the institution that is actually providing this service when it comes to education, when it comes to health? There shouldn't be any other institution like private doctors or private practice that are actually providing this. Is it what you're normally saying? Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. Because we don't commercialize. Because the moment you put private, this person is coming for business. So he wants to make profit, isn't so?
Yeah.
So making profit on a disease, on a person who is going to die, is it really worth it? How do you eat that money? How do you survive? But they have make it as a norm. You get what I mean? Well, you see, what I'm trying to say, look at this way. Me and you.
Yeah.
Dr. Mike, you have got Medicare aid. I have one also. If you look at your Medicare aid, how much percentage do you use in that amount?
Not much.
Not much. Mm. Where does the rest of the money, which you have contributed to Medicare aid, where does it go?
So it's serving the institution that is that holds your medical aid.
Well, you get on it. You did not use that money, but they don't tell us where does that money goes to.
Yeah.
So assuming that we would have taken this money and put it into government, if we know that those who are not working, government will take care of them. Those who are the vulnerable, government will take care of them. The medical aid where me and you are contributing doesn't take care of those people. The street child, the person who is sleeping in the street, a man who have lost a job, let me, for example, me and you, either me, when I lose my job today,
mm.
that medical aid, the moment I don't pay, I'm out. The following morning, I get sick. I can't go to them and say, no, but I was contributing. You know, I never used my money from this period to this period. They won't even listen to me.
Yeah, you're right.
Then why do I go to government? Because government, whether I've contributed or whether I've never contributed, government will take care of me.
Yeah.
And this way, I'm saying, if we don't commercialize, all doctors must work for government. Because at the moment, you see, we are only scared of corruption. And that's what we should now work on. How do we deal with corruption? Is it?
Yeah.
Mm. Yes. And we shouldn't politicize corruption. Corruption is corruption. The same thing what the Sankwasa was talking about, that Noah. Let us be honest, all of us. All of us, we have seen that anti-corruption doesn't work.
Well, we can't entirely say it targets a certain
group of people. But what I'm saying, if it should work effectively without choosing who and who. But the only way we can do that is to put it in the constitution of the nation, of the country. You get me? Let's put corruption be part of one article which says, if any person, young or old, if you are corrupt, the way the president is advocating it for, it's treason. We put it there as treasonous. Treason, which means you are going to be judged according to that article.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but the challenge is always, we talk about corruption, but if there's a lack of evidence of whoever we're saying, you know, then definitely it becomes difficult.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the issue. And that's the biggest issue.
Because remember, the system was designed to do that. Look, if we call the medical aid and private things a crime against humanity.
It's just that people are better at hiding their corruptions, activities.
Because why? We have made it to be plunderism. Plunderism is you take something from another person to feed another person who doesn't deserve it. Eh?
Yeah.
You make another one poor, you are trying to enrich the other person. So, what should we do? If we should just allow all of us agree that let's put this thing into the book we call our Bible, which is the Constitution of the Nation.
Yeah. But we wondered a little bit from today's discussion a bit, you know.
Yeah. I'm saying because look, remember where we are.
Yeah.
We are saying we want to address the issue of food poisoning.
Yeah.
Inadequate of roads. So because when these things are put there, then we can address these issues easily.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going.
Yeah. All right.
Yes. I'm saying if we put the mechanism, a defense mechanism that can allow the government to direct the funds in the right direction. Because remember what we normally hear about. There is no money. Next moment you hear, 20 billion is stolen.
Mm.
Only when money is stolen, that's when we know there was money.
Yeah.
So this is my point is, I'm saying let's have a mechanism that should defend the protect the wealth of the nation.
Yeah.
Who such that when we direct it, we have to address the issue of food poison, which we know we would have said, okay, there is what lack of food in whatever or poverty or whatever all these things. How do we address that? If that room is left, we won't be able to address it. If the room is left for people to steal, that room for us to address healthcare, it won't be there.
Yeah.
So healthcare should not be commercialized. Yeah. That's why I asked the question, how can monetary money, liquid cash, expires? Up to now, I'm still asking myself, I've got medical aid, to be honest with you. For the past 5 years, I've never used it to the maximum.
Yeah.
No. That money, I don't see where it does go. Every now and then, these guys, they'll come and give you a report, there was a shortfall. We couldn't meet this one. How do you expect that there is a five-star hotel, cost you 3,000 a night?
Yeah. Well, it's all the details are on your. It's all in your agreement because
a bed at med clinic.
Yeah.
Cost 5,000, 6,000, just to sleep. So that's what I'm saying. That those agreements we should look at them to avoid. So that we say no. Because if government is the one which is doing it, we don't pay too much in Katura Hospital or Central Hospital or wherever. So that we know government can do with the same money, because the government is not going to get this money from outside to address healthcare, to address agriculture. Government will get the money from the same people which it's serving.
Yeah. No, which the is point, the Namibians. Yeah, the point is clear. Yeah. Mm.
Yes. So, right. So that's the only thing I think we can address the issue of this food poisoning that is going on, the reports we are getting, road infrastructure not attended to. You see, because we might be blaming the wrong people.
Yeah.
But we know the answer.
Yeah.
And the answer lies with us. It's us to come up with a solution. It's not about us to just talk and talk and talk. But let's see, whatever we speak about, if we can channel it and then we address it. But I think I hope my parliamentarians are always listening to this radio.
Yeah.
And I hope one some of them will pick up like what they, you know. And I'm happy with the other stuff where you can see that people are consuming what they have, what they produce.
Yeah, you definitely.
You can see now mangoes have been planted in the north. Very soon we have that whole north, which we thought there was no mangoes. It will be full of mangoes very soon. That whole north region, I can guarantee you, give it 2-3 years.
Yeah, no, they're coming up with mangoes. Yeah.
They are coming with mangoes. Why? Because they realize if Zambezi region could do this, the same soil which is in Zambezi region, small as the same soil which is in the north, which is in Kavango, which is in everywhere, which is in Ketmanswap. So why can't we plant this thing?
All right.
Thanks very much.
No, thank you for coming through. Yeah. Yeah, what is your take? Our telephone number is 08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091. So when you're looking at food poisoning cases, really, that it does reveal the it reveals how now I'm looking at what also Dr. Michael was saying. So it reveals how infrastructure failures and create a cascading effect. So what I mean by that is that the poor roads mean limited access to market. Okay? That's a limited, you know, it means limited to access to market with faster food options, in that case. A lack of fuel, for example, stations. When you have a lack of fuel stations, means emergency response can't reach people quickly. So, and the absence of telecommunication means people can't call for help. And inadequate health care facilities means that even when people reach hospitals, they may not receive the care they need. So this, it has, as I said, this all have cascading effects. And traditional leaders in the region have been calling for urgent investment in road maintenance, expansion of rural fuel supply networks, and a stronger regulation for informal vendors, because they, as other people come through, that there are kind of a practice of poisoning other people. So, but well, these calls have been largely unheeded. That's why we still have actually so many people dying from food poisoning, especially children. And that's, it's with the really tragic consequences. So yeah, the experts are right when they urge the government and to adopt more integrated approach, that integrated approach to rural development. So when we can't continue addressing these issues, so we cannot continue really addressing this issue in silos. You know, when we build roads, we need to ensure they connect to health facilities or schools or market. So when we expand telecommunications, so we need to ensure there is a reliable electricity to power the infrastructure. So when we deploy ambulances, like the ministry has done recently, we need to ensure there are fuel stations to keep to keep them running, and road that allow them to reach people quickly.
So, and that's very, very, very important. And from what I think the previous callers was talking about as the, is the universal service fund. Maybe all this money that we, you know, privatizing health and all this, maybe all this money goes into service fund. The universal service fund that was launched in March last year. Currently, last time I heard, it's about 145 million. That could be part of the solution. That could be part of the solutions. But it needs to be implemented with urgency and focus on areas like Kavango East, where the need is most critical. So, and we need accountability. We need definitely accountability. Sekerete, in the article, one of from the traditional the Tiriku Sitiriku traditional authority noted that among the 20 deaths linked to suspected food poisoning in Diona, none of these cases have been resolved, you know, and no laboratory results have been shared with families. So this lack of transparency and follow up through is unacceptable. I think that's really, really unacceptable. And let's remember that behind every statistics is a family. Behind all the statistics is a family, a dream cut, you know, a dream cut short for somebody, especially for children. So the 2 children who died in Korokoko village. So the 26 people who have lost their lives to suspected food poisoning since 2023, these are not acceptable casualties of rural life. It shouldn't be acceptable casualties of rural life. So even the governor Hambuka was right when he said, quote unquote, Namibia cannot afford to lose precious lives of children who might one day become productive citizens contributing to the development of the country, unquote. So, but words without action is really meaningless. It's meaningless. So we should look at some of the, so the story from the Diona constituency should serve as a wake up call for all of us. Lula, infrastructure is not a luxury. Okay? It's a matter of life and death, believe me. And we have seen this. This is a typical example. Until we address these systemic failures, with the agency actually they deserve, more Namibian families will pay the ultimate price, definitely. So, yeah. Our time, it's about 30 minutes past the hour of 9, and that brings us to the end of our Unpacking the Day episode this morning. So please do continue listening to Eagle FM. Or what you need to do this point in time, make sure that you download the Eagle FM app, Eagle FM mobile app, so that you can continue to listen to Eagle FM. If you are in the area where we are still not being able to be listened to, so yeah, please do continue to listen to the program that are coming up right now. Is Mind the Gap with Helmut, and then other programs will come your way throughout the day today. So from me, Michael Chiavelli, until tomorrow, on the same frequency here on Eagle FM. So bye now.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba.
where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikawa shafaa sana nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma kona raheta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription.